Welcome to C-Suite Hot Seat, the show where we put C-level executives from language service providers of all sizes in the hot seat. We will ask tough questions and get inspired answers.
Hello and welcome to the C-Suite Hot Seat, the show where we put C-level executives from the language industry in the hot seat. My name is Eddie Arrieta and I'm the head of growth here at Multilingual Media.
And I am Laszlo Vaga. I'm senior consultant and researcher at NIMSI Insights. And today in our hot seat, we have Gronja Maycock, chief revenue officer of Ecolab. Gronja, lovely to have you here.
Thank you both. Looking forward to it.
Gronja, thank you so much for your time. And just to get started, in one sentence, can you tell us what does your company do? What does Ecolab do?
We are a content solutions provider with language and technology at our core. So we remove language and technology barriers for companies to accelerate their global growth.
Gronja, you are Chief Revenue Officer at Ecolab. What's the first career you dream of as a kid? Was it Chief Revenue Officer?
Definitely not. So the very first career I dreamed of as a kid was a journalist. I blame Superman. I blame Lois Lane.
Wow.
I blame an innate curiosity. I always watched the news with my dad at the time, and I used to love watching foreign correspondents. Where were they? Where were these strange places? What were they doing? How do they get the scoop? How do they know what's going on? I want to know. I want to know first. So I had a curiosity coupled with the kid watching Superman and Lois Lane. So journalist was one of the earliest things I wanted to be. I don't think I lost the curiosity or the passion for being abroad, but it led in a different direction.
That is great. And when you're not working, do you do anything related to journalism? How do you spend your time?
Definitely not journalism. I travel a lot for works abroad. So when I have free time, I love to explore at home. So there are places in Ireland I absolutely love. So hiking, being in national parks, being on the beach, being on the trails, gossiping with friends as we go for long walks and then deserve the nice drink or the nice meal at the end of it. And there's two particular places in Ireland. And no, I do not work for the tourist board, but Waterford, which has amazing greenways and beaches, and Kerry, where there's a national park and outdoor pools that you just overlook mountains and lakes. And it's peace, tranquility, and a complete disconnect from travel, airports, airplanes, and technology.
Sounds perfect
that
getaway.
So great. And you've told us a couple of things that are very interesting. So I'm going to make it a little more difficult. So you've mentioned Ireland. Please don't include Ireland in your answer to this. But if you were given a chance to visit three countries, and you just mentioned you love traveling, so which ones would you choose and why?
I think Japan. Despite being in the localization and language space for a long time, I've never been to Japan, even though we have an office there. So I think their culture, their love of nature, and especially cherry blossom season is one of the things on my wish list. So Japan, definitely. Finland, we also have an office there. It's on my to-do list for Q1. Not necessarily just for the work, although I'm excited to meet our team, but also the fact that they have so much night or so much day, depending on the time of year, something unusual. So I'm looking forward to Finland. And then anything Latin America, anything French, Polynesia or French in general. I love the cultures. I love Spanish. I love French. I love exploring. So more countries in either Latin America or anything to do with France.
That is great. Thank you so much. It gives us a lot of insights on what you prefer. And any piece of advice that you've been given that stands out, what do you think would be the best piece of advice you've ever been given?
While getting things done gives you a sense of achievement, empowering people and enabling them to have fun getting things done is better. Because you not only have your own sense of accomplishment, you have a bigger sense from a team who you've watched grow and have fun achieving something. And I've never forgotten that. Throughout my career, I think about the before and the after of that advice. And it's made me a different person from a leadership perspective. So I can't unsee the advice. So it was really good.
Now that we have gone through the warm-up, let's ask some more serious questions. So you're chief revenue at Ecolab. What brought you to the revenue track?
Problem solving and curiosity. I started my career, and I think I talked about the journalism aspect, but the curiosity and the languages was what I selected when I decided what to study, with no real vision for where those languages or that education path would lead me. So I did study translation, I did study interpreting, but when I started my career, it was in operations in this industry. But I tended to be one of those people because of curiosity, passion, knowledge for both language and technology at the time. I was brought into the room a lot with salespeople, with account managers, with sales leaders. I was typically the one invited when customers came to visit or when we went to visit customers. And that drew me to, the curiosity with what our customers are trying to achieve, the curiosity with how they are trying to grow. And it brought me back then inside organizations for what our organizations at any point were trying to achieve. So it was a natural invitation as opposed to a stated desire. And it became something I was passionate about. The growth, the curiosity, growth for our customers, growth for companies, growth for teams. And I became passionate about how do I learn about this? This is a whole area. How do I learn the processes? How do I learn enablement? How do I learn what makes a good or a bad strategist when it comes to growth, what the right decisions are? So it became my passion. I was very, very lucky that an accidental invitation into a room led to something I loved.
Fantastic. Could you share any great challenges that you have overcome in your career?
Lots. Growth is filled with challenges, whether it's we don't have a solution today for something that an existing customer might want. How do you convince an organization where on a roadmap that should be? Or you need to grow in the middle of acquisition and you have a lot of different opinions, a lot of different cultures, a lot of different leaders coming from different perspectives who all want to achieve common things, but in different ways. I think some of the challenges have been, how do you find your path? How do you find your voice? And how do you help get things done that a company needs in the most efficient way, despite multiple possible approaches? How do you make a decision and bring people with you on that decision and show them that, hey, there's 100 ways we could do this, but let's pick this one for the following reason. So the ability to influence despite powerful voices in a room has been something I've had to learn to navigate. The ability to navigate not only cultural elements, but also different roles in an industry where maybe 10 years ago, from a technology perspective, having a conversation with the CTO is very different to the conversations I have today. So being open to learn, being open to acknowledge what you don't know, what you don't have, and being curious enough to understand other people's points of view. Where do we need to get to? What's the best common path? And have you got the courage to be in the room, put your hand up and say, I'll take this, I'll lead this, I have an idea, I have a way, are we in? And to solicit other people's opinions, and especially because those opinions may contradict what you had in your head, but still get to the end goal. So I think, yeah, acquisition, mergers, different cultures, different voices.
Those are certainly challenges, but much of what you describe sounds like at first that, you know, working in the revenue teams or growth teams is like an individual kind of a job. Whereas you mentioned previously that you're a team player, as well as you must have a fairly large size team. So how do you motivate your team? How do you keep them on the same track and row in the same direction?
Humor helps. So humor. I think laughter and humor, I found maybe it's the Irish in me, maybe it's the personality in me, I don't know, but an irreverent sense of have fun while growing, have fun while achieving, have fun while doing hard things tends to be something that brings people together. And it's hard sometimes. You've got teams that have to make difficult choices, that have to hit difficult deadlines, that have to sometimes do things beyond what their initial capacity for doing something is, achieve new things, merge, build leaders under them that they may never have had to do before. So I think giving people a vision, having people's back, having the confidence to say, we're going to make mistakes. You're going to make mistakes. It's okay. This is a safe place to build and do. Here's what we need to do together. Here's what we need to achieve. I'm not dictating a way we'll get there, but we have a timeline and we have an end goal. How do we empower the right people to do it while having fun? So having people's back, being open to the fact that you're not the cleverest person in the room. You are not the person who knows the best way for every single thing. In fact, you shouldn't be. So enabling people to have fun when the temptation is to get stressed, especially in large organizations.
What do you think is the secret sauce of growth and success in the industry?
Diversity is definitely one. Accolade is a company that has come together through acquiring a lot of companies, merging and integrating those companies into one Accolade. And that takes an ability to embrace diversity, embrace different types of talent, different time zones, different cultures and opinions, to bring it together into one Accolade approach to things. And that is definitely something that's different. We have a lot of super agencies in our space, many of whom are American, which is great. We have American teams and they're amazing. We have some who are UK, a handful that are European in that super agency space. But Accolade is probably one of the most diverse companies in terms of linguistic and cultural breadth of talent that we have across our organization. We've 23 offices, we've multiple teams, and we grew up as initially a European leader who became a global leader. And I think that's different to how many in our space grew up. And that means something different. It means we have Europeanness in our blood while being global, which is different. It's hard to put your finger on that difference, but it's a nuance that, and people ask me, oh my God, you're really successful in France. You're amazing in the Nordics. You're really good in Germany. We're trying to crack those markets. How do we do it? And we truly have Germans in Germany, a Nordic team based in the Nordics. We have global and local in a way that many have sent people in to try and build something from a central perspective. Because we've been European and American, where we've grown in the region, it's different. So, and that helps. It helps our customer connections. It helps our partnerships. It helps our understanding of removing language barriers, because that's been a mainstream thing outside of our industry in Europe. Growing up in Europe, you have to remove language barriers to succeed.
Certainly. And then again, through mergers and acquisitions, I'm sure your own revenue team or growth team also has been pulled together from different other companies. So let me ask a tricky question. Would you enthusiastically rehire your current staff?
Yes, absolutely. 100%. I'm very blessed in the teams I have. So as chief revenue officer, outside of revenue itself, I have a marketing team. I have a sales enablement team, a sales ops team, a sales academy, a sales excellence, account initiatives that look at account management and the protection and growth of existing business. I have teams who look at products and what we should and shouldn't sell, how we evolve in an AI crazy world. There's not one member of the team that I'm not super proud of. And that's something that I don't think I could always say in my career, because you build different teams, you inherit different teams, but the team we have is very, very strong. And I think when I look at how empowered they are to do what we need them to do, the ideas they come up with, the things they implement, greater than I could ever imagine. And my job is to facilitate the environment in which they can achieve our goals from a corporate perspective. So they're amazing. The marketing team, and they're humble. They're amazing, but humble, which is not always an easy combination to get.
Certainly.
They love what they do. They have fun doing it. There's a no blame culture. There's a try, do, learn, do better approach. So yeah, I love my team.
Great. And I'm sure they will be very happy to hear this when the interview goes online.
Good. I hope they don't get too familiar with me loving them, because I'm also a tough boss.
It sounds like you have everything done, right? You have
a fantastic team. Not even close.
Exactly. So what are the key business challenges, or rather, what is the one key business challenge that you're currently trying to tackle?
Transformation. Our industry, like every industry in the world, is transforming through technology, through AI, through a changing world. What we are today and what we become tomorrow, for every successful company in our space, I think will be very, very different to what we're used to. So that journey of transforming from a translation, a language, a tech-enabled content solutions company to an AI-enabled and tech-enabled company is a transformation journey. And I think also add to that, coming with mergers and acquisitions, becoming a very, very strong player where our brand is one of the newer brands in the industry. When you think about brands in the industry, a lot of people know the 20, 30-year-old company, but Aqualad is a brand. And while we've existed for 25 plus years, the Aqualad brand is only a few years old. So who we are, what we are as we transform, is a story that is very much top of mind and my number one priority to be able to tell as we go into 2024 and beyond. Who is Aqualad? Why have I heard of them or not heard of them? What should I think about them? How AI or tech enabled are they? What else do they do? Why should I have them in my mix? So telling the Aqualad story, the brand story, while transforming in an industry that's transforming is the key focus. And it's an exciting focus.
You personally, you started out as a want-to-be journalist, but you also studied translation. You were in operations and now head of revenue. So what kind of advice would you give to young entrepreneurs or entrants to the market from your experience so that they could have a successful business or a successful career in the industry?
Be curious. Network. Join industry associations. Don't be afraid to think about what the world needs tomorrow in this space versus just what it's needed so far, and how you're forming a business can help contribute to that while having fun doing it.
All right. That's fantastic advice. Thank you. Eddie, I think it's time for some rapid fire questions.
Oh, wow.
Thank you, Laszlo. Thank you, Laszlo and Grania. First one, how often do you get angry, yell at your colleagues or get angry with your colleagues?
Oh my goodness, never. If I ever yelled at my colleagues, I hope they'd fire me immediately and hit me with a hard object. Never. I'm a pretty calm individual. Don't get me wrong. I will go for a walk if I get annoyed at something, or I will take a deep breath. I took up transcendental meditation a while ago to be able to take on more. But I grew up in a family of six. I have multiple small Irish family connections with nieces and nephews. So I grew up in a crazy household. I don't get mad.
Can you tell us about a time when you experienced discrimination?
I've been lucky. I've been one of the founders of the first international chapter of Women in Lock. I've been surrounded, albeit male-centric in my earlier career in management, that's much more balanced in recent years, which is phenomenal to see. So maybe the gender one more than anything else, where I've been maybe the only woman in the room, but okay, not necessarily discrimination.
Fair enough. One more question for me. What was the most uncomfortable conversation that you have ever had?
That's an interesting one. More so than let somebody go, having to share feedback with somebody who has never, maybe somebody who's grown in their career, but hasn't necessarily been fortunate enough to have managers in their earlier career who had conversations about performance, about impact of behavior. So I think sometimes you see very high performers and they haven't necessarily had engaged conversations about, not only am I a good performer, but how do I get the best out of others? How do I play well with others? So being able to coach and teach people is not the easiest thing, but it's a necessary thing. So there's been one or two conversations where you have to be brave and have a good conversation that has a good output, but might be uncomfortable at the time.
What do you think people, say your family, misunderstand most about your job?
I heard my mother describing to aunts and uncles what I do. And at the time, she had the most amazing description of what I do. I make the internet, wait for it, I make the internet talk to each other and understand each other no matter what language you speak. I thought that was a pretty amazing thing. I'm not sure it was accurate, but I found it pretty impressive. She was in her 80s at the time. So that was probably misunderstood or amazingly sweet.
Thank you. Thank you so much, both of you and Grania, for joining us in the hot seat. I hope you really enjoyed your time. And if anyone feels like joining us and is part of a C-suite at a company in the language services industry, please sign up with us and join us in this hot seat.
This is all, folks. Thank you for watching, and look out for our next episode that will, just like this one, be published as a video on Multilingual TV and also as a podcast on the NIMSI website. We'll be right back.